Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
We want people to take seriously what they're doing in terms of their culture, what they're doing in terms of their art. If their art turns sour sooner or later, and usually sooner, their lives, their society, their politics will turn sour.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Alan Gelzo, author of The Golden Thread, A History of the Western Tradition. We'll talk in depth with Dr. Gelzo about that later on in today's program. Also coming up, Michael P. Foley. His new book, Abstaining with the Saints, No and Low Alcohol Beverages for Sober Souls. That's later on in today's show. First, we're joined by Dr. Alan Gelzo. He is a professor of humanities at the Hamilton School for Classical and Civic Education at the University of Florida. Also a best-selling author, most recently, Robert E. Lee, A Life. He's back with a brand new, big, two-volume book, The Golden Thread. He writes the second part on the modern and contemporary West. Dr. Gelzo, thank you for joining us.
All right. Very good to be speaking with you today, Scott.
This is a massive undertaking. If people haven't had the chance to see the books yet, it's two volumes and each are around 1,000 pages. Now, you've spent a lifetime writing about American history and Western civilization. What about this project felt necessary right now? And give people an overview of what they can expect across both volumes.
The volumes are written in conjunction with my long, long friend, James Hankins of Harvard. Jim and I go back over 5 decades. We were actually in the same high school together. We were even in marching band together. And over the years, we have stayed very close in touch. And you might say that although the actual mechanics of writing these books occupied 4 or 5 years, we've really been writing them for 5 decades, mm-hmm. because the kinds of things that you'll find in this book are things that we have talked about every time we have connected. What are we trying to do in these books? We're trying to give a picture of this thing we call the Western tradition. And we use the running title, The Golden Thread, because that takes us back, first of all, to classical mythology, but in particular takes us back to the story of Theseus and the Minotaur. After Theseus had slain that monster, the way that he was able to escape from the cave of the Minotaur was by a golden thread that he followed to the daylight. So I think in a similar sense, what we have tried to do with these books is to offer the Western tradition as a golden thread, which can be followed to the light of civilization.
Let's take 3 of these terms, Western, tradition, civilization. What do we mean by them, and why is now the time to have a discussion about those terms?
Let me do the easy part first. When we talk about the Western tradition, what we're really talking about is a collection of civilizations. Think of this Western tradition that the golden thread is laying out before people. Think of it as something of a layer cake. And one layer is the civilization of the Greeks and the Eastern Mediterranean. That is then succeeded by the civilization of the Romans. And that, in turn, is going to be followed by the civilization of the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. and, in its term, also the civilization of the European Enlightenment, and so on to the present. So we regard the tradition element of this as something which is handed on from civilization to civilization. It's not a case where the Greek civilization kind of winks off and the Romans have to start all over again. No, the Romans build on what the Greeks provided as a foundation, and then the civilization of the Middle Ages, of Christendom, is built upon the inheritance of both Rome and Greece, and so on through the Enlightenment and to the present. So we regard this as an accumulation of, let's call them, civilizational moments. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes up this Western tradition. The West is, by and large, what we are speaking of when we talk about Western Europe. I would go so far as to say that people who would like to make a distinction between Western Europe and Russia, as though Russia belonged to a different civilization, are fundamentally mistaken. That is a view which is adopted by the current power structure in Russia under Vladimir Putin. He would like to talk about Russia as this uniquely Eurasian civilization. Mm-hmm. I think that's fundamentally flawed. So when we speak about the West, we're really talking about Europe, but we're also talking about those places which reflect the transplantation of European culture and civilization. So that takes in a very large part, if not all, of the Western Hemisphere, and large portions of the rest of the world as well, through the Pacific, through the subcontinent of India, and so on. What we talk about when we talk about a Western civilization actually turns out to be much more than just something that can be isolated and called the West. Mm-hmm. It is the West and every place that the West has informed civilizational development. So those are our terms. We're giving you a history of the Western tradition composed of these civilizations.
Dr. Gelzo, the question now becomes why? Why write these volumes and why preserve Western civilization?
Well, I think in large measure because Hankins and I are convinced that we do face a moment of civilizational crisis. In fact, you might say that almost all of our lifetimes have been involved in a questioning of Western civilization. And you can say that there's some good reason for that. Because after all, in the last 100 years, and 100 and slightly plus, we have seen the West, however we want to draw that boundary, we have seen the West plunge itself into two nightmare world wars of colossal proportion and of deadly results, and much of it predicated on the foolishness of the leadership of the West. So if people are having some doubts and some question about this Western civilization, that there's unfortunately ample reason for that. Mm-hmm. Add on top of it the legacy of the Holocaust, of totalitarianism, and the hideous butcher bills that have proceeded from that. Add to it the misbehavior of Western governments in creating empires and subjugating other peoples, and by all means not with any kind of gentle consistency. And when you take those together, yes, there are some very good reasons for saying, well, what about this Western tradition? Is it really all that great? Hmm. Well, yes, we are at a moment when that questioning is there. And sometimes, as I say, there's legitimate reason for posing the questions. At the same time, though, there are also people who have what I might regard as more malevolent intent. And that is, there are people who are, frankly, the devotees of an anti-civilizational outlook. These are people for whom this thing called civilization is, as Karl Marx would put it, purely a matter of superstructure. That the real thing which identifies people and describes how history moves is really economics. It's the getting and spending. It's mm-hmm. the exchange. It's the material substances that are swapped around. Hankins and I could not disagree more strenuously that all of those things are in fact subservient to this thing called civilization. So what we want to do is, whether the questions about civilization arise from that kind of ideological hostility, or whether they arise from a simple questioning that says, how can we still talk about a civilization? How do we still want to conceive of the desirability of a Western tradition when there have been so many colossal disasters. My response to that, and Jim's response to that, is really twofold in a very broad sense. One is, the Western tradition has undergone similar moments of civilizational crisis. There was a great moment of civilizational crisis at the end of the Roman Empire and the collapse of Rome. There was a great moment of civilizational collapse in the wake of the bubonic plague of the 14th century. There was another moment of near civilizational collapse and really of similarly colossal, devastating warfare in the 30 Years' War of the 17th century. But with each of these moments of crisis, the Western tradition has, so to speak, bounced back.
Mm-hmm. The great Dr. Alan Gelzo with us. The book, The Golden Thread, A History of the Western Tradition, co-written with James Hankins. More with Dr. Gelzo in a moment. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Two big books, Volume 1 and Volume 2, The Golden Thread, A History of the Western Tradition. James Hankins writes, along with Alan Gelzo. Dr. Gelzo joins us today. Dr. Gelzo, where do we see that the value of Western civilization? Why has it been resilient through crises? And where do we see redemption through time?
I would isolate several of those moments in these terms. First of all, the Western notions of government and law. And I bracket those together, and Jim brackets them together with me, because you can have government, but it can be perfectly lawless and malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
You can have law and have it be nothing more than pious desire. What the West has done has been to find ways of linking, in important ways, government and law together. And in this case particularly, so the government is subservient to law. The moments of real crisis in our history have been the moments when government has galloped away from law. But the subservience of government to law, and yet law needing the implementation power of government to secure the good things that law attempts to describe. So there's one major aspect of how we find this Western tradition, something desirable, something to bounce back with.
Mm-hmm.
Another aspect is its religious content. It's the monotheism. And within that monotheism, this embrace of disagreement, of what is sometimes called argument for the sake of heaven. And from it, a tremendous flowering of religious and theological ideas that range all the way from technical aspects of theology to the concept of religious toleration. All of these things are part of Western monotheism, and that has been an important and, I think, a highly desirable aspect of the Western tradition. Then there's the music and the arts of the Western tradition. There are some civilizations in the past of human history which have had next to nothing in the way of art, sometimes mm-hmm. have been militantly hostile to the arts. The Western tradition has loved the arts, and it's loved them whether they are the arts in terms of depiction, the arts in terms of music, the arts in terms of literature. And I might add, too, that one tremendous asset of the Western tradition has been its commitment not just to literature as literature, but to literature as written literature.
Mm-hmm.
So that we not only have, let's call it, tribal memory that gets recited at significant moments, but we capture it in writing so that everybody can share those things and, in many cases, disagree about them. So those are some examples of some of the great strengths of the Western tradition that we believe are worth expending the effort to write two volumes, presenting these to people anew. And in a way, the Western tradition is, the golden thread is, an invitation to come back, to resample, to understand all the remarkable things that are available through the Western tradition, yet at the same time, recognizing that these have not always been implemented evenly, certainly not always perfectly, at some points unwisely, but yet to understand with the kind of, let's call it the kind of sober gratitude that one experiences, for instance, when you're thinking about your parents, when you're thinking about your ancestors. No one is going to argue that one's parents were absolutely perfect. But at the same time, even with the imperfections of parents, you experience a sense of gratitude
mm-hmm.
for what has been given to you. So it is that reasonable gratitude that we seek to cultivate in The Golden Thread.
Now, The Golden Thread
doesn't look like a typical textbook. There is more of a story. There is a narrative of the West. And as you allude to, there is a lot of art and literature. And, of course, primary sources and primary voices are woven in. Did you consider specifically not just how you wanted to present the story, but perhaps how readers, how they wanted to learn about this story?
Yes, exactly, because there are many ways of using these books. You can sit down at page one and read the narratives mm-hmm. that are contained at point in both volumes, and I believe, I don't think I'm exaggerating, I think you will have a good time with narrative writing.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, if you're not someone who wants to devote as much time as it might take to get through the narrative itself at one sitting, then there are different sections, shorter sections. You might call them almost short stories. The technical name that the publisher has used is threads. And these focus on particular individuals or particular stories. We have, for instance, in Volume 2, we have biographical stories. We have stories about some specific events. If you, for instance, are working through Volume 2, you will encounter some interesting subchapters, some separate threads that will describe the music of Claudio Monteverdi, that will describe the founding of the Jewish Hasidic culture through Baal Shem Tov of the 18th century. You will even find a small subchapter that we entitled Unsinkable mm-hmm. on sinking of the Titanic. So that's there as well. You can pick those separate sections up and enjoy those as being very short, easily digestible, and yet all of them connected at various points to the overall narrative. So that's a second way. The third way is through the use of the primary sources and primary images. So we include all through these two volumes some shorter and pithier and some longer and more involved extracts from documents that run all the way from Pericles' oration over the dead of the Peloponnesian War to Winston Churchill's famous speech from June 1940 about how we will fight them on the beaches, we will fight them on the landing places, and so on like that. Now, these separate sections will give you the voices of the people who we are describing in the narrative and will allow you to pick up those documents and use those and read them and savor those as well.
Not only that, Dr. Gelzo, but if you have the book, you pick it up, you see it, brilliant, beautiful images throughout help tell this story.
There are pages upon pages of great art. There are some, in fact, sections where we include a series of reproductions of paintings so that you can see how a particular artistic school develops. Mm. One example I might use from Volume 2 concerns Impressionist art.
Mm-hmm.
So we move through Impressionist art in France, we move through it in Russia, we move through it in, even in the Netherlands. Van Gogh, for instance, is an example about that way. So this gives us a way of appealing to readers at a variety of levels and gives you an opportunity to enjoy these volumes in more than one way.
Dr. Gelzo will continue with us in just a moment. His book, The Golden Thread, A History of the Western Tradition. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. with friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
Constitution's adoption. President Calvin Coolidge said, "To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race." Hillsdale College, pursuing truth, defending liberty since 1844.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Dr. Alan Gelzo joins us, his book, The Golden Thread, A History of the Western Tradition. Dr. Gelzo, the book encompasses this time in which the West is capable of incredible creativity and beautiful art, as you mentioned, but also incredible destruction through war, and particularly in the world wars of the 1900s. Was it difficult to capture that tension between those two sides?
One of the great difficulties in this is, first of all, to impress upon people the sheer destructiveness of these events of the 20th century. When we talk about World War I, yes, you can run up long figures of casualties. You can estimate costs. You can describe sunken ships, and we do all that. But what do those abstractions, what do those amount to in the terms of their impact on people's lives and how they understand themselves and their relations to each other? That is the most difficult thing to convey.
Mm-hmm.
I think in many ways, a lot of historical narrative sometimes fails because it does nothing more than the first.
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking for what the impact really is in the way that people think. This is why so much of these two volumes weaves in and out between describing events. That's a fairly straightforward thing. Again, the Civil War in 1861. But also the culture, how the poets wrote about it, how the novelists write about it. With World War I, yes, you can run up those long chains of figures. But if you want to understand the impact it made on how people understood themselves, then you have to go to those horrible lines, those shit. When I say horrible, I mean horrible because they make the blood run cold. Those horrible lines of Ezra Pound. Well, what was this war about? Pound asks. For a few thousand books, for some broken statues, for what he calls an old bitch gone in the teeth, for a botched civilization. If you want to know what the impact of the war was, there it is. And if you want to know what the impact of the war on the lives of the people who fought in it, read Eric Maria Remarque's All Quiet on the Western Front. So in these books we talk, yes, here were the events, here was the Western Front.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what happened in 1914 to 1918, but also, here's what it did to people. Here's the confidence that it shook. A shaking of confidence that is realized not only in the literature, but also in the art, in the architecture as well. And we offer examples of all these things. These are, I want to say, more than simply the usual chronicle that you would expect from a textbook. They are an attempt to tell the story about a civilization where the political and the military and the artistic and the literary all are bound together as a single whole. Now, can we cover every detail of it? Well, of course, as soon as I put it in those terms, you realize you can.
Mm-hmm.
We do our best to point people to those directions and those moments which we think are the most revealing. There's always room for more. And we hope to invite people to explore that more.
I guess I'll close with this question, Alan. The Golden Thread is so evocative of it's such an evocative title. It allows the reader to understand there is something that draws us all together, and yet it is fragile. What keeps that golden thread intact, and what is the greatest danger to keeping it in place?
I think the greatest danger is taking it for granted. Some people might say that the greatest danger comes from people who are overtly hostile to civilization. No, I don't think so, because I think that can be spoken to, that can be disagreed with, that can be refuted. And sometimes you have to do it simply by asking a few questions. I think the real danger comes when we simply assume that these things have always been there, that they always will be there, and they have a message which is sometimes interesting, but nothing that we really need to concern ourselves about. Hankins and I will say, no, to the contrary. We need to take seriously all of these things. We need to take seriously. What do we do? What do we do in our music in the West? Plato once said a long time ago that if you wanted to understand the politics of a society, listen to its music.
Hmm.
Now, is Plato exaggerating? Yeah, a little bit, but not more than a little bit. We want people to take seriously what they are doing in terms of their culture, what they're doing in terms of their art. If their art turns sour sooner or later, and usually sooner, their lives, their society, their politics will turn sour. Because these things are all of a piece. They are all bound together. So what we want people to do in picking up these volumes will be, first of all, people who will say, I know these various movements, these various artists, this music that is described here. I am so glad to see this again.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I might even differ with it. I wish you had more about Mahler and less about Tchaikovsky. Well, sorry, that's my volume. Those are the shots I call on that one. Again, write your own book.
Uh-huh.
All right. So some people will do that, and they will just have fun with these, because it'll be like making, again, the acquaintance of old friends. For many others, it will be a surprise. It will be, I never knew these things were connected like this. and they will be seeing suddenly connections all around in the daily lives they lead that they didn't really suspect were there before. So they will see, they will see on these pages, let's say the reproduction of Thomas Cole's great series about the rise and fall of civilizations. They will look at that and they'll say, those are telling me a very important story I need to learn something from. In fact, I might feel tremendously motivated to pay a visit to the National Gallery where the originals of Cole's paintings are and see these. I would like to see these. Because seeing them, oh my goodness, what a world of difference it is just from looking at things on the pages of a book. I had an experience a little bit like that over the summer when the Yale Museum of British Art put on a special exhibit of its collection of the paintings of Turner. And they have a substantial collection of them. I walked into the exhibition, and the first thing that greeted me was it was a Turner I had never seen before. But I looked at it and I said, oh my goodness, that's exactly what Turner does with this other painting. It's exactly what he does with this different painting over here, with this etching, with this drawing, and so on like that. I'm standing in front of this with my jaw open and saying, I haven't seen this particular thing before, but I see where it all comes together. That kind of realization, that kind of awakening, that is another thing that we hope that these books will invite people to. So whether you are a connoisseur of the arts, or whether you are someone who is coming at this thing because of your anxiety, your curiosity about where our culture and our society are going, these are the books that will speak in these very different ways to exactly those needs. And we'd like to see it done. I mean, if Hankins and I have a choice, we'd like to see it done particularly in two constituencies. We'd like to see it done for people in upper division advanced courses in high schools, 11th or 12th graders who are doing AP of various sorts. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see them in first year university and college surveys. But we're not going to limit it to that. I think these are books that anyone with curiosity is going to pull down from the shelf and spend some time with and feel satisfied with. So, yes, we've got some particular targets, but in the larger sense, we think that these are books that will speak to the interests and needs of a very broad spectrum, and we want to encourage that as strenuously as we can.
Alan Gelzo is Professor of Humanities at the Hamilton School for Classical and Civic Education, also the co-author of a new two-volume series, The Golden Thread, Volume 2. Alan Gelzo writes The Modern and Contemporary West. Alan, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, after all that info, we relax a bit. Michael P. Foley joins us, his book, Abstaining with the Saints. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs. Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches structures that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
1935, a crowd of 20,422 fans gathered to watch the game between the Reds and the Phillies. From Washington, D.C., Franklin D. Roosevelt flipped the ceremonial switch, and lights turned on in Cincinnati, and the game was played. The Reds beat the Phillies 2-1 that night, and later in 1935, seven more night games were held in Cincinnati. Night games were later expanded to other teams in other cities. This has been the Old Ball Game on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to follow us on X at Hillsdale Radio. The Hillsdale College Podcast Network is there at HC Podcasts. We're joined by Michael P. Foley. He's a professor in the Great Text Program at Baylor University, also the author of a few books. The new one's called Abstaining with the Saints, No and Low Alcoholic Beverages for Sober Souls. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
This is the third in a trilogy, Drinking with the Saints, Dining with the Saints. I think we might have talked about each of those previous books. How do you see Abstaining with the Saints fitting into this pattern?
Well, it's kind of a natural progression. So I wrote three cocktail books, Drinking with the Saints, Drinking with Saint Nick, which is drinks for Advent and Christmas, and then Drinking with Your Patron Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I co-authored a cookbook with Father Leo Padalinghug called Dining with the Saints. I figured after all that drinking, I should probably have some food. And Abstaining with the Saints kind of follows the same logic. It is kind of responding to what is called the soberish movement,
mm-hmm.
which is different than going completely sober, but especially after the COVID lockdowns. There are a lot of people who said to themselves, gosh, I drank too much during those lockdowns. Alcohol consumption went up 35% in 2020. And a number of those people actually said, I don't want to abstain entirely from alcohol,
mm-hmm.
but I do want to cut back. And a lot of those people actually then became pioneers of non-alcoholic distilled liquors.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have things called Sober October, Dry January. There is a renewed interest in moderation, and Abstaining with the Saints is meant to help with that.
I just saw recently, and I don't think for the first time, a study saying that at this point now we're drinking less alcohol than ever before. So I know you talk a little about the sort of counterweight to what happened during COVID, but are there other reasons you think people are perhaps ingesting less alcohol these days?
I think there are two others. One is Gen Z just doesn't drink very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but they have very low percentages of daily or weekly consumption. And then another reason could be increased worry about the health side effects of drinking alcohol. Medical opinion used to be, oh, just, two drinks a day and you're fine. And now they're being more stringent about that. Oh, any alcohol is a poison and any amount is not good for you. So the pendulum right now in the medical community is swinging against even moderate amounts of alcohol. Personally, I dispute those claims, but it would explain why people are seeking alternatives.
Michael P. Foley with us. His new book, Abstaining with the Saints, No and Low Alcohol Beverages for Sober Souls. And I'm holding the book. It is, man, this is a gorgeous book. I mean, this is a beautiful book if people have an opportunity to pick it up. Now, one of the great delights of the book, which you can read any way you like, you know, front to back, pick a date, pick a chapter. But the way you weave that history, the saintly history into these recipes, did you discover anything about these saints this time around that surprised you or you were especially enthusiastic about including in this book?
I was surprised because I wanted to find particular non-alcoholic beverages, a suitable partner, if you will, in the communion of saints. And so some of the saints are familiar figures. They appear in the earlier editions, the earlier cocktail books. But there were some new ones, and some of them are pretty wild. I think my favorite discovery was Saint Paula the Bearded. This was a female saint, and there are a couple interesting morals to the story. She was a peasant maiden, and she was out alone in the woods. And she saw a nobleman that she knew was a bad egg, and that if he caught her alone in the forest, that he would sexually assault her. So she ran into a country chapel, and she prayed, God, please spare me from this man. And God, in his mercy, made her miraculously and suddenly beard. And the man ran in and said, hey, buddy, have you seen a young woman? And she replied, honestly, I have not seen anyone except myself. And then he ran out. And I don't know if she had to keep the beard.
Michael P. Foley with us, the book Abstaining with the Saints, No and Low Alcoholic Beverages for Sober Souls. Take us through the process a bit. You've mentioned trying to find the right match, the right drink to go along with the saint or the story behind the saint. How do you put that stuff together?
I will use any means necessary. I will look at the saint's hometown or region and see if there is a regional traditional drink associated with that place. If they're associated with a certain symbol in Christian art, then I'll go with that. For example, in the Renaissance, strawberries were associated with the Blessed Virgin Mary because they're one of the few plants that both fruits and flowers at the same time. And this was seen as a symbol of the Blessed Virgin Mary's virginity and motherhood. So I have several strawberry drinks for Marian feast days. It's a lot easier to pair drinks with modern saints because we know their drinking habits. For example, we know that unlike most Poles, Pope St. John Paul II did not favor vodka. He drank very moderately when he was Pope and still young and vital. He used to summer in the Italian Alps, and he, for his lunch, he would have a little bit of the local white wine cut with mountain stream water. And we have all these details because of one very good authority, the KGB. In the 1950s, the KGB had a file on every Catholic cleric in Poland in the hopes of finding some dirt on the cleric by which they could blackmail them. And they were very disappointed that they couldn't find any dirt on Karol Wojtyła.
You allude to this earlier. People think about these mocktails or no alcohol beverages as just being juice drinks, essentially. What did you learn, perhaps, about crafting some genuinely interesting alcohol-free or low-alcohol beverages?
What I surmised and discovered is that they can be really delicious. Even a very simple thing, like a very common formula for a generic mocktail is some kind of flavored syrup, sparkling water, and lemon juice. It's really good. It's refreshing. It's somewhat complicated because it's got both sweetness and tartness. And these mocktails and no and low alcoholic beverages can not only be used for complete abstinence, but there's also something today called zebra striping, where you alternate between an alcoholic drink and a non-alcoholic drink. And this contributes to moderation. It contributes to your hydration while still being delicious.
Did you discover through the trial and error any particular recipes that are now go-tos for you when you're hosting parties or get-togethers or celebrations or feasts?
Well, and I'm not being deliberately guilty of product placement when I say this because they're not paying me anything. But there were a couple of beverages that I thought were really good. There is a non-alcoholic aperitif called Wilfred's. I think it's made in England. It's a little bit expensive. I will be honest, one of the things that surprised me was how expensive some of the non-alcoholic versions are. They are as expensive as alcohol. And I was thinking, come on, you can't charge the same amount if there's not as much bang for your buck. But it's reasonable because they have to put in the same amount of time and effort and ingredients and aging that a normal distiller has to do. So fair enough. So Wilfred's was very good. There's another company called Sentia that produces a GABA kinds of beverage. And they have like a gold and a red and a black, and they're really tasty. De Soy, or it's De Soie, probably the French pronunciation, also has some good stuff.
Abstaining with the Saints, No and Low Alcoholic Beverages for Sober Souls. It's really a gorgeous book and wonderful recipes inside. Michael P. Foley, professor at Baylor University, also author of a few other books on alcoholic drinking, too. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Alan Gelzo, co-writer of The Golden Thread, along with James Hankins, A History of the Western Tradition, and Michael P. Foley, his book Abstaining with the Saints. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio, including YouTube. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Experience a wintry mix with the Shasta College Symphony Orchestra Saturday, February 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Enjoy music from Verdi and Beethoven and more, plus a melody from My Fair Lady featuring the outstanding winners of the Emerging Artist Solo and Area Competition. This special concert is sponsored in part by Vituity Anesthesia Reading. Tickets and information can be found online at shastacollege.edu/event.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Carrie Grell. From the heart behind Organic Pilates, I want to introduce you to Harmony,
a lifestyle boutique created for intentional living. We offer apparel, wellness, and everyday pieces designed to support how you move and how you live. Harmony, where movement meets intention. We're located at 1264 California Street. We're in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to welcome you in.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.